You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Right, hey, nice to talk to you. How's your day going?
Oh, pretty good so far, absolutely. Yeah, no, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today for this interview.
No, no problems at all. Okay.
So just before we begin, would you mind stating your name, title and position, just so I know how to address you?
Sure, it's Richard Cappy, and I'm the Chief Advisor at Warriston Bird.
Five different national policies have been amended by the government to enable mining and quarrying. Forest and Bird have been focusing on the National Policy Statement for Indigenous Biodiversity 2023. What makes this amendment particularly destructive?
So a lot of work went into these national policy statements. They're really important. They don't sound that interesting, but they're actually really, really important in terms of setting the environmental rules for all sorts of different things that take place. And as you can imagine, you know, Indigenous biodiversity is, in essence, that means the incredible habitats and the special creatures that call New Zealand home. These native species that are found nowhere else in the world. These landscapes that exist nowhere else in the world. So actually, it's really, really important that we have good rules in place to look after these things. And I guess what most New Zealanders don't realise is that actually our environment and these special creatures, you know, whether it's kiwi, kaka, all these amazing kind of lizards and invertebrates and things like that, or plants or sea creatures. Actually, New Zealand has around 4,000 of those native species only found here that are at risk of extinction. Our starting point is actually that nature's in trouble. That's why we're so concerned that weakening these environmental protections is just going to make this worse. New Zealanders have this natural affinity to our environment, to our whanau, to you know, the Ngāhere and to the Manu and all the other creatures that live here. We, you know, so much of our national identity is tied into the things that are unique about New Zealand, and much of that is our environment. And actually, most New Zealanders rather worryingly think that our environment's in really good shape, and it's not. And I guess that's why, you know, in particular, we're so keen for things like these resource management rules, which is what these national directions are around, are actually taking into account the parlous state of our environment and making sure that, especially in those areas where we've got significant native biodiversity, that we're really looking after those places and those creatures. You know, the last thing we want to be doing is sticking a coal mine, for example, on the Denniston Plateau. That's public conservation land where we've got creatures that are only found in that area. Coal mining, dumb idea, given what's going on with climate change and what's going to be happening with coal markets in the future. Shipping that stuff offshore, so it's not even used domestically for New Zealand electricity production. On public conservation land, so your and my public conservation land, and wiping out native species in the process, that doesn't make sense.
So it sounds like a lot of these policies are very short-sighted, not only in an environmental protection and climate change sense, but also in an economic sense, with that coal being shipped overseas.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you think about, you know, our primary industries are based on access to high-quality soil, good, you know, fresh water supplies, good quality air, you know, land stabilization, the way to really mitigate and manage the kind of climate risks is to make sure that we've got good native forests with deep roots that are stabilizing our hillsides. I think what we're seeing just now is this kind of rollback of environmental protections, this idea that actually we can get some kind of short-term economic hit. If we look at the value to our environment, to so many aspects of our health, our well-being, our economy, ripping it apart for coal mining or quarrying or mining in places that are particularly sensitive just doesn't make any sense. And I think that's what's really worrying about this, right? We're setting a precedent for economic activity to override science-based environmental limits. These aren't just kind of magic numbers that are made up. You know, the government committed to evidence-based, science-based limits to protect our biodiversity, to look after our fresh water. And I think New Zealanders rightly expect, you know, that from our decision makers. And we're not seeing that. And these changes are making things worse. And I think, you know, when it comes to the ballot box later this year, I think, you know, your listeners, all New Zealanders should be asking their local candidates, their MPs, what are they going to do to make sure that we've got rivers that are safe to swim in? What are they going to do that we're making sure that we're not ripping our oceans apart with bottom trawling? What are they going to do to make sure that we've got a planning system that looks after these places for our kids and our grandkids, that we're not just, literally open cast mining for a questionable short-term economic gain?
I think a very interesting subject you've touched on there is the importance of the environment for New Zealanders. I would think that the public believes that regardless of political party that the environment would be protected. It seems like we'd just expect that to happen, but obviously the opposite is happening. You've described some potential irreversible damage to ecosystems. What is the worst case scenario that these amendments could lead to?
So I think if you look at something like, say, an ecosystem like Denniston or an ecosystem like a wetland. So if you think about wetlands, we've only got 10% of these things left. So it's and these are carbon sinks. They're places where specific types of native creatures live. They're also basically sponges for downstream water and flooding issues. So they're incredibly important to all of us, not just because, you know, they're not just swamps where some pukeko hang out, for example. The question we've got to ask ourselves is, how are we going to hold our governments to account to make sure that they are delivering on the rhetoric around environmental protection? Because the choices, let's be really frank here, the choices that are being made just now are catastrophic for the environment, and they are irreversible. When you have dug an open cast coal mine that has literally dug out an area the size of downtown Auckland, in what is a unique, pristine conservation land, the idea that you can restore that by kind of pushing the rock back and then replanting it is just nonsensical. So the choices that we are making just now, or the government is making just now, reflect political choices they are making, not inevitability. And I think it's up to everybody who has the opportunity to vote to be holding our decision makers to account, asking the tough questions of government and saying, look, actually, why are you doing this? What are you doing? I don't support this. Or, asking those tough questions, and similarly asking the same questions of the opposition parties. What are you going to do differently? What are you going to do better? Because, ultimately, I don't know about you, but the information and the data and the evidence about unswimmable rivers, the Hauraki Gulf being devoid of life, basically, that's not my New Zealand, and I think our politicians need to be doing better.
One issue would be with the upcoming election that the economy will essentially be the main subject, and I guess it could be a worry that things like environmental protections or even other protections such as workers' rights, that those take a back seat with this pure focus on economic growth.
Yeah, and I think it's you're absolutely right. I think if you look at all the polls that are out there, the focus is very much New Zealanders are rightly worried about the cost of living, and that's a day-to-day reality for people. The environment is further down the list, but I think if you think about the cost of living and you think about some of the biggest threats to our ability to have good quality lives, to have kind of good well-being, to be able to bring up our kids in the places that we love, is things like climate change and biodiversity loss. You cannot have a thriving economy when you have that risk of that much liability and that much economic shock from climate change. The cost of adaptation is just incredible. The amount of damage that we've seen from flooding events, from these extreme weather events, it's just going to continue to mount. So it's a kind of a false economy to be focusing on the here and now at the expense of climate and biodiversity loss. When that DNA is gone, it's gone forever. That has a flow-on effect into our food systems. We are part of that biodiversity system. So we are vulnerable as much as these creatures are. So I think, we need to be absolutely making sure that we're taking action to address the cost of living just now. I think all politicians would be acutely aware of that, and I think New Zealanders expect that. But it shouldn't be at the expense of actually destroying our environment, which ultimately will just make those things much, much, much worse in the future. We need to be looking after our environment as part of our thinking about what a successful economy, what a successful society for New Zealand looks like in the future.
Thank you so much for joining us, Richard Capey, Chief Advisor at Forest and Bird.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Have a wonderful day. Cheers.
Yeah, you too. Cheers, man. Bye-bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.